attached to each other, and we treat them as three separate kelim, even though they're all screwed into each other. The Tosfos pointed out, if you have a scissors or you have a tweezers where you have two pieces that function together as one, so then it's considered one kli. So if someone touches, let's say an Adam Tamei touches this part of the kli, so I say Magad Mitzos, they can Magad the Kula, the whole kli becomes Tamei because it's one unit. So if you have, let's say, a long Italian bread, an Adam Tamei touches one end, so I say Magad Mitzos, the whole bread is Tamei. It's Mechuber, it's one unit. But over here, the Mishnah says that these are treated as three separate kelim. Sometimes that's Nagir to us, Halacha L'maaseh. Rav Moshe Feinstein has such a tshuva regarding tefillas kelim. There is a din in the Gemara that whenever you buy pots and pans and forks and knives or plates or glasses, you have to be tovel a kli in a mikveh. If it's a kli that has to do with food, if it's kli suda.
Thank you.
If you buy, Gemara says, if you buy a pair of pants or you buy a dress, so you don't have to be tovel in a mikveh unless you're interested in removing tumah. But if you buy clay soup that you eat with or you cook food with, so then it didn't require, you have to be table count. If it's made from metal, we assume it's a mitzvah min atar. And if it's made from glass, it's a mitzvah min rabbanan to do tefillas kelim. But it's only clay soup. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Let's say you have a samovar. Let's say you have a samovar that holds water. And then on the bottom you have the element. So the whole metal samovar that holds the water is a kli, like a kettle, a kli that you cook water in, like a pot that you cook soup in. So that part needs tefillas kelim. But the bottom part, that's the element, that's like mashal ma'adav adayma. I have a stove, and I have a kettle that I put on top of the stove. So the kettle is supposed to do tefillas kelim on if it's a metal kettle. But the stove doesn't need tefillas kelim. That's a kli that holds up a kli. That's a, let's say the top of the stove, you have a tripod that holds up the pots that you put on.
Yeah.
So a pot, a kli that holds up a pot doesn't require tefillas kelim. Or the oven that has the heat in it doesn't require tefillas kelim, only the kli that holds the food. So Moshe Feinstein writes that even though the element is attached on the bottom, it's all one unit, but he says al pidin, it's two different kelim. It's shnei kelim ha-mechubarim yachad. And they have different roles. The top kli contains the water, and the water gets cooked in it. And the bottom kli is the element that doesn't require tefillas kelim. So he says you have to turn the samovar upside down. He says you're not mechuyev to be tovel the bottom part that has the element, but the top part that contains the water, you have to be tovel. So to say, you turn it upside down. It's quite a trick. You have to fill it up with water. How do you fill it up with water and turn it upside down? There's a problem.
You push it down.
Push it down is going to be full of air. So you have to fill it in. Okay.
To use at an angle a little bit.
Yeah.
The air goes out as you turn it.
You have to let the water go in.
Yeah, you do it at that angle. You use it at an angle, and then you turn it.
So Moshe says you have to be tovel in the mikveh. Aye, but it has this big chatzitza. The water, you're not going to lower the element. You're afraid it's going to get ruined.
Right.
So the bottom part is going to be above the surface of the water, but the whole part of the kli that contains the water is going to be below the level of the water. But the water doesn't touch the bottom of that pot. So there's no bias mayim. So he says that's called beis hastorim. The halacha says that beis hastorim, and he quotes a Rashi, he quotes a Tosefta, a Mishnayis Mikvoz. Beis hastorim. When a person, let's say a person goes to mikveh to be tovel, so you don't require they should open their eyes and open their mouths. They can keep their mouth closed and they can keep their eyes closed when they're tovel in the mikveh. If there's a chatzitz in between the teeth, a chatzitz a tognish. But there's no halacha that you have to open your mouth that the water should go in. It's a strange din. You can keep your mouth closed, but still a chatzitz in the mouth passes. It's a strange din. Taisus finds it hard to understand, but that's what the Gemara said. That's the din.
Royal
would be a smayim, right?
Yeah.
So the halacha says that inside of the mouth is beis hastorim, and beis hastorim doesn't require bias smayim. You don't have to have that the water should touch there. You can't leave your mouth out of the mikveh. It has to be below the surface of the mikveh, but you don't require that the water should touch it. So he quotes the Rash, he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes the Rash on Mishnayis Mikvoyes, where the Rash quotes a Tosefta, that these dinim apply to Kelim as well. And he quotes a Tosefta exactly like that. You have two Kelim that are Mechuba Yachad, and you want to be Tovel one of them, and the other one you're not interested in being Tovel, so you submerge the one under the water. And even though the water of the mikveh doesn't touch this side of the kli, because it's attached to the other kli, mach nishtois, that has the din of a beis hastorim, and a beis hastorim doesn't need bias mayim. So Rav Moshe has this din in the Mishnah is relevant to us. Halacha l'maisa. Each kli has to have a full tefillah. So the kli that I want to be tefillah has a full tefillah.
No, a crock pot is different. The pot which has the element.
No, he says a
tefillah
lachatzoin. He's asking. It can't be tefillah half a kli.
Yeah, right.
If you have a tray for kli, so you can kasha, you can do hagol on half at a time and hagol on the other half. Hagol is not a problem, but to be tefillah in the mikveh, you have to be tefillah all at one time. Here I'm tefillah submerging the whole kli under the water of the mikveh at one time. Either water doesn't touch one side, doesn't touch the bottom of the samovar, so it doesn't have to. That part is always covered up by the element part on the bottom, so that's called beisaster.
Element is built in, and there is something covering the whole thing all the way down.
Yeah.
That's what he calls a septa.
He quotes exactly a tushtel. Exactly the same, that's based on something.
The crackpot is made out of two parts. One is the part, the
food part.
The
element,
yeah. The element.
Right, so the element doesn't need tefillas kelim. Only that part that you hold. And if the part that you put the food in is made from if it's made from earth, then kli cheres doesn't need tefillas kelim. Only if it's made from metal. Made from metal, or if it's made from glass, then you need tefillas kelim.
Pyrex can be made from pyrex.
Okay, pyrex is not glass.
Porcelain and credit.
Tefillas kelim has to be all the vasachas, yeah.
No, you have to have
water. You wet your hand, so there's water in between your hand and the kli, and then you submerge the whole kli under the mikveh, under the water of the mikveh vasachas, and you assume that the slight bit of water in between your hand and the handle of the kli is mechuba with the rest of the water of the mikveh.
So if you put it on one side, the
other side has to be under the water. But vasachas, you can't have part out. The slight bit of water. Let's say I'll be tevil this part under the water, and then the hand is
rolling.
And then I'll be tevil this part, and the top part still has a little moisture on it. That's tegnish. If I'll tevil the whole thing under the water, but vasachas, and I'm holding on tight. So it's a chatzitza, there's no bias mayim here. So we say no, if there was a little bit of water beforehand, so we assume the slight bit of water that's still in between my hand and the handle
is
mechuba with the rest of the mikveh. Yeah, but it has to be tefillah bevasachas. Says in Shulchan Aruch that hagola, if you have a tray for kli, so the hagola can be done lachatzoy. You can kash a half at a time, but the tefillah in the mikveh has to be done all bevasachas.
Also, you can't tell.
Porcelain dishes.
Tevil, you can.
Meet China. Yeah, no. Most porcelain holes, you don't have to be tevil with China. It's kli cheres. You don't have to be tevil. The only shayla is it says in Shulchan Aruch that you have kli cheres. Hametzupe is zechuchis. Zechuchis needs tefillah midrabbana.
Most of them are glazing on
clay. Right. So it says in Shulchan Aruch if you have China dishes that are coated with glass, then it's a machlokes where they need tefillah scale. Because glass itself is only midrabbanon, so if it's china that's with glass on the outside, that's a machlokes of a table without a bracha. So most of the poskim say, v'amed v'mamurim, that's on the china dishes that used to have glass on the outside from years ago. I remember when I was a little boy, my mother had Pesach tikka dishes like that were china, and it had a thick coating of glass on it, and you can see where the glass didn't reach. It was a different thickness, like half of kemata, maybe one quarter of the thickness was glass and three quarters of the thickness was china. But bizman hazeh, they put very little glass on it. Either they spray on the glass a hundredth of an inch, a thousandth of an inch. First they make a design on the china dishes, a painting or a design on the board or whatever, and then either they spray on a slight amount of glass or they paint on. My wife sometimes does the ceramics. So they dip in a brush in this glass, melted glass, and they paint it on very thin. The mamish amashu, the mashu of glass, just to hold the design that it should shine, and it should hold the decoration on. That when you cut with a fork and a knife, shouldn't scratch off the decoration. That's all. But it doesn't really add to the thickness of the kli. So that's what most of the poskim say. The same Shem Rav Moshe also like that. That's not called mitzupe zuchuchis. If you have a kli cheres that's mitzupe zuchuchis, part of the thickness is glass, So that's a machlekes, and the Shulchan Aruch recommends it should be table without a bracha. But by us, it's not. Right, right. Unless the minig is that, yeah, by the yek is to have a minig. That's a table China dish. Bottom of table, yeah? Don't know. A thermos is two different kalim, right? The inside kli contains the food that needs tefillos kalim, and the outside one doesn't need tefillos kalim. Yeah, just the whole.
A lot of the thermos you can open up the bottom, take out the glass piece, and
So you only have to be tevel the inside part. Okay, that we learned last week. That's the mishnah about different kalim that a mechuba yachad salpit in. Sometimes it's one kli, like the tweezers and this is, and sometimes it's a separate kalim. The mishnah next mishnah talks about agola shel kotni. You have a little baby, and Taisa says the baby is just learning how to walk. The baby's going to learn how to walk. He takes one step and he falls down. He takes another step and he falls down. So in order to, at a certain stage of development, in order to help the baby learn how to walk, so they have a little walker.
Training wheel.
So the baby doesn't really sit on the walker. He doesn't. There's a din that from all the things in the whole wide world, there are only four things that are mekabel tuma. Other mekalem ochel mamashkin. Other mekalem are mekabel tuma only from av hatuma or above. Avi avos hatuma. Let's say a mace is considered Abi Avos HaTumah. Whoever comes in contact with the mace becomes Av HaTumah. Or the many other things that are Av HaTumah. So an Odom or Kelim are all the Mekabel Tumah from an Av HaTumah or above, Abi Avos. And Ochel Mamashkin can be Mekabel Tumah from Toldus. If the Av HaTumah transmits the Tumah to something else, it becomes a Rishon, goes down a Sheni, a Shlishi, a Rishi, a Chamishi. Sometimes goes down with the Rabbanon already. Yeah, but for Adumah you have a Chamishi. Goes down. So usually, let's say an Adam is a Zav. Let's say an Adam is a man is a Zava, a woman is a Zava, let's say. So Adam is a Zava, a Zava is an Av HaTumah. If he's going to touch a chair, touch a table, he'll transmit the Tumah. And the Klal is in the first Daf in Bava Kama, when it comes to Tumah Vitare, and the Tumah is being transmitted from one to the other, tells the same Lapka Yetzibhem. It means that the Tumah, when it's transmitted, has to go down a Madrega. He can transmit Tumah and have on the same Madrega. How can it be on the same level? That's what Taisus asked the Kasha, but you see that there is. Because by mace, there's a din. That's Midirabbanon. You have a din Midirabbanon, sometimes even higher. That's Midirabbanon. But on the level of the Raisa, you never have. So Taisus strikes the Kasha, Cherev Harehu Kecholo. A mace is considered Abi Avos HaTumah, and if you have a Kli Mateches, let's say there's a knife or a fork or a spoon, a metal knife or fork or spoon in the same room. So it's mekabel tumah from the mace. It doesn't go down if there's an odom in the room, or chairs in the room. So the chairs become an av hatumah. The odom becomes an av hatumah. But if they claim matechas in the room, so the claim matechas become an avi avos hatumah. So don't you see that avi avos transmits tumah and it becomes the same madreg avi avos hatumah? That's Taisus Kasha. The Yomar Zoktach told the same. Whenever tumah is transmitted, it has to go down. You see, it's not so. So Taisus doesn't want to even hear that there's an exception to the rule. There. How can it be? It's against the rule. So Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Tam that if you learn the beginning of the Mishnayos and the beginning of Aholos, you'll see that if a mace is metame, a spoon, an ohel, and it becomes avi avos, and then the mace is taken out. And then you bring in a new spoon. That spoon will not be metame another spoon to be an avi avos. So will not. The avi avos. The avi avos doesn't make another cherev harek hol. So the Rabbeinu Tam says it's already a madrega lower. It's already slightly lower. It has to go down. That's what Taisa writes on the first daf of Bava Kama. The Gemara says the tumah when it's transmitted has to go down. There is an exception to the rule that an Adam, let's say, a zava, nidi, a lettuce, a mitzvah person, is a tumah yotzal and begufa, a person sits on a chair. If I'm a zava and I sit on a chair, so I make the chair into an av hatumah. That's a special din if it's miyuchad li yeshiva. But there are no exceptions to the rule. Right. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he doesn't think that in that case the tumah is transmitted. Not that the zav has an av hatumah and then he transmits the tumah to the chair becomes an av hatumah. No. The chair is like a tumah yotzal megufa. The chair is called mishkav hazav, moshav hazav. So that's like a new tumah yesh meyayin. if the Zav doesn't sit on a chair, so it's not going to be called Mishkav HaZav. Once the Zav sits on it, so the chair is now labeled Mikana Lahab. Oh, Mishkav HaZav. Mishkav HaZav is an Av HaTumah on its own. Not that the Tumah is transmitted. It's labeled as Mishkav HaZav and it's Tumah Yotzal Migufa. It starts anew. That's why the Halacha says only if it's Miyuchad Lishiva. Has to be labeled as a Mishkav HaZav. Let's say it's not Miyuchad Lishiva. He takes a stack of telephone books and he sits down. The Zav happened to sit down. He wanted to eat a sandwich somewhere. He has no room, so he sits on a stack of telephone books. Or he turns over a basket, upside down, and he's going to sit. So it's not going to become an Av HaTumah. It's not Mishkav HaZav. Only if it's Miyuchad LiYeshiva. So that halacha, Miyuchad LiYeshiva, what does that mean exactly? So the Mishnayos have, let's say, a person wears shoes. So when the person, Miyuchad LiYeshiva, let's say, is a chair. The Zav sits on a chair, so the chair will become an Av HaTumah. If he's a Zav, Zav, and Nidhi, Aladis, and Mitzorah, that only applies to someone who has a Tumah Hayotzol and Migufa. He has some condition that that the Tumah begins with him. Let's say someone came to a funeral and the Mace is an Avi Avois HaTumah, and I become an Av HaTumah from participating in a Levaya. I sit on a chair, I don't make the chair into a Mishkav HaMoshav. The chair goes down a Madrega. The chair will become a Rishon HaTumah. Av and Av, it will become a Rishon. The only time you have this special din, a Mishkav HaMoshav, is when the person is sitting on the chair has a Tumah Yotzal HaMigufa, has a condition.
Is that the category like an active Metamah? Or active Metamah or passive Metamah? It's like we said before, somebody is Metatik with a Mace.
Yeah.
He becomes Alpha Tumah. But he's a passive. He cannot be Metamah. But the one who has Mitoch HaLogufo is active.
Okay.
Therefore, there are two kinds of active and a passive.
Yeah. You mean act? Passive means he was makabel a tumah b'chutz. And here the tumah begins with me. The tumah begins with me. So by the mishkav hazav, the din is that the tumah begins with the mishkav. Hazav has to sit on it. That it should be labeled as a mishkav hazav. But once it's labeled as a mishkav hazav, it's a new tumah on the mishkav hazav. Mikana labo. It's not that the tumah was transmitted from the zav to the mishkav. Otherwise, an av wouldn't make another av. So the halacha says, let's say, the shoes that the Zav wears. So when he walks in there, when he walks, the whole weight of his body is leaning on the shoes. So the shoes have the din of Mishkav HaMoshav, or the socks that he wears. Or let's say the pants. When the Zav is sitting, so the whole weight, the weight from the legs is not, but the weight from the most of the body, the belly and the rest over here is leaning down on the pants. So the pants and the underwear, the whole weight is laying on that. So here the Mishnah says, Agolo shel katan, if you have a little baby who goes on such a walker, it's a shaila what this is. Rashi sounds like the yoshiv aleh. Rashi sounds like it's a stroller. Rashi sounds like he learns that it's a stroller. So Tosfos says a stroller. Of course, it's a miyuchad lishiva. What's the chiddush? The Gemara says shmaminof, and the Mishnah you see as a din of tumas medris. Aban as a din of tumas medris is miyuchad for sitting on. What's the chiddush? So that's what prompts Tosfos to say, no, the Gemara sees a chiddush over here. So the chiddush is, it's not miyuchad for, it's not a stroller miyuchad for sitting on it. It's miyuchad that the kid leans on it, but it's not miyuchad to lean on like this. Miyuchad that when he falls, he shouldn't fall on the floor, it should help him walk. So really the kid is walking on his feet, and this prevents him from falling. But Lamaisi doesn't know how to walk, so he's really leaning b'chol koichai on the stroller. So that's the chiddush. And the mission that the walker, not the stroller. The walker that the baby really leans, that also has a tumas mishkav
amayshav. Can be a zav.
That a little baby can be a zav. It can't be a balkari. In order, there's two different dinim. There's a din of tumas balkari and a din of tumas zav. Tumas balkari, he has to be 9 years old. There has to be royal beer.
Yeah.
If he's not royal beer, so he's not a balkari. There's no tumas balkari. A coin cotton. The Gemara says, can you give truma to a kohen? Let's say Bizman is that, can you give truma to a kohen? So truma chutzlot, let's say chalas chutzlores. So we learned the Gemara earlier, I think. Chalas chutzlores is only midirabbanan. It doesn't exist. On the level of the Raisa, there's no such thing as chalas chutzlores. So they have many kulas. And chalas chutzlores because of the fact that it's a lower level dirabbanan. Chal in Eretz Yisrael today is also only midirabbanan. So chalas chutzlores is it's a double dirabbanan. It's a very low level dirabbanan. So one of the many kulas is the chalas chutzlort may be eaten by a kohen tomei. Let's say he attended his father's funeral, so he's a tomei mate. But that's a tumah that he received, how do you say, passive tumah. He received the tumah mibachut, but he doesn't have a tumah hayotzal migufoy. So let's say he's a balkari. Let's say the kohen is a balkari. He's married. He's a balkari. He went to mikveh, so he's no longer a balkari. So the only tumah that he has is a tumas meis. So tumas meis is not a tumah yotzal migufa. So he's permitted. Such a kohen is permitted to eat chalas chutzlot and shumas chutzlot. So the Gemara says you can give chalas chutzlot to kohen cotton, because they're cut before the age of 9. It doesn't mean before bar mitzvah. Kohen cotton means before the age of 9. By definition, it can't be a balkari. Or to a kohen gadol, doesn't mean a kohen gadol, a high priest. It means a kohen past the age of 9 who may be a balkari. Shetava the carrier. If he went to mikveh, either kohen cotton or kohen gadol, shetava the carrier he can give. Our practice, the shach in the end of Yeredeh quotes the Maharil, that our practice is we never give any shuma, we never give chalas chutzlot to any kohanim to eat, even though they went to the mikveh. How come? So the shach says that we have gone through so many pogroms and so many redifis that we have already many centuries we have been in violation of the takanas hatanoim. There's a din that if a man comes to the community and says ich bin a kohen, ich bin dom a kohen, I want the first aliyah, so min atari you believe him, and midirabanan there's a takana mishnayis in the second parakin ksubis midirabanan you don't believe him, you have to have another eid echot say that he is really so. So thus is good if you have a group of kohanim move from one place to the other. What do? The Nazis came and they killed out the whole community. I'm the only kohen. I'm the only person who's alive. No one else knows who I am.
No aedis
at all. So the Gemara has cases like that. That b'shas hatchak, this is mamash b'shas hatchak, you revert back to the din derais. The din derais is that he's bakloit on his own. It's not really a sophic. Minatora, the kohen is believed to identify himself as a man is believed to identify himself as a kohen. A man comes and he says that he's Jewish. Maybe he's not Jewish. So Taisus writes in Pesachim, he sees in the Gemara there. A man comes and he says he's Jewish. So you believe him? Even though he may be a guy, he may be telling a lie. The Gemara says there was a guy who always used to fool the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. He always used to eat because of Pesach. So Taisus says, how did he fool them? So you see, Mikan Yesh Luma, that if a person comes and he says, I'm Jewish, you believe him? Unless he tells you a whole story. I used to be a guy and I converted by this reformed rabbi. So he told me he's not Jewish. He just told me he's not Jewish. He tells me he's Jewish because his father is Jewish. He told me he's not Jewish. It doesn't help that he tells me he's Jewish. He tells me the whole, how do you know that you're Jewish? Doctor, because my father's Jewish. Because I used to go to shul. So that doesn't help. He tells me he's not Jewish. But if a man comes and he tells me he's Jewish, I say, how are you Jewish? He says, my mother was Jewish, my mother's mother was Jewish, and so on. Okay? So Taisa says, you believe him? Unless you think he may be making a mistake. So that's the din, both if he comes and he says that he's Jewish, or a person comes and he says he's a kohen. Nikra din deraisa, you believe him. So by kohune, the Mishnais have, they made a chumah mid rabbanan. By saying you're Jewish, they didn't even make a chumah mid rabbanan. Just have to interrogate him to make sure that he knows what he's talking about. But when he comes and he says he's a kohen, then they made a chumah mid rabbanan. He says, how do you know you're a kohen? He says, my father was a kohen, my father's father was a kohen, my mother's Jewish and she's not a Gioris and she's not a Gusha. He gives the whole story. And he says, we all used to duchen together, so menatari, he's believed mid rabbanan, you don't believe him, and you require another eidecha. But if it's a shas hatchak, he tells me the Nazis came and they killed out the whole community. I'm the only survivor, and we're not going to get any other eidecha that's going to stay. So then the Gemara said, b'shas hatchak, you revert back to the din derais. So the shach writes in Yeredeh and Hilchas Chala that it's already so many years that there were so many pogroms and so many times, generation after generation after generation. So he says, strictly speaking, the man is believed to say that he's a kohen. But sof kol sof, since we are in violation of the takana rabbanan, that's why we don't give any truma to the kohanim to eat today.
Why did the rabbanan feel the need to add the takana to the
Gemara talks about my loss of the yuchsin. They wanted to eat. They wanted to
lineage
like that. Even though we know who the president of the United States is, but we want to make sure that he really won honestly. So you want to make sure for certain that this man is really a kohen. So mid rabbanan, they said.
Not by 7 o'clock, no. Nothing to expect. Going to go for a bush and a
It's a question of
yuchim. It's also questionable whether that's so. Sometimes the children put on hands and they don't know what they're doing, and sometimes the grandfather's a kohen. It doesn't necessarily mean that the grandchildren are kohen. Could be the grandfather married a grusha, and all the grandchildren are halal. You gotta ask more questions. That's not enough just because it has on the tombstone. Rav Soloveitchik told such a story. Yeah. Yeah, but Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer Halacha L'Maaseh, the bottom line, he says not. He says just because the grandfather's tombstone has the hands, it doesn't has like this, and which is clearly a symbol of kuna. He says it doesn't necessarily mean that the grandson is a kohen and he's not allowed to marry. You hope that he's Jewish. Yeah, yeah. Nachamo. So the Halacha says that a katan before the age of 9 cannot be a balkeri. But Tinek Ben Yomo, the Mishnah says in Nida, Tinek Ben Yomo, the same day he's born, is Matame Bizav. You can have a Tumas Ziba. Tumas Zav and Tumas Balkeri are totally unrelated. Balkeri is a natural thing. That's Shich Vazera. Zav is a sickness. So the Zav, the disease, that can happen to a baby who is just born today. Tinek Ben Yomo, Matame Bizav. Zavo is not the same. A Zavo, a woman can only become a Zavo if she was first a Nida.
Yeah.
She can only become a Zavo if she has a Riyaz Dam in the 11 days that follow immediately after the main Nida.
Yeah.
So first she has to become a Nida in order to be able to become a Zavo. But by a cotton, by male, you can become Zav and a Balkeri are totally unrelated. They have nothing to do with each other. So that's what the Mishnah tells us, that Agolo shall cotton, the walker, that the little baby walks on Tamea Medris, if it's, since it's Meyuchad for leaning, called Kai Chayan, so it has the din of Tumas Medris.
So that's the whole pattern that we said in Shiva, that since our goal is meant for movement, the Mishka of Moshe is meant for something to be stationary, and that's something that's movement, that doesn't have a real din of Mishka of Moshe because it's not meant to stay in one place.
I mean, that's the Chiddush, that even though it's not meant to stay in one place, it still has, okay. Yeah, the Gemara says that there's some kind of chiddush here. So Tosfos says pshita and Rashi pshita. So he wants to say that's the chiddush, even though it's not miyuchad for sitting still. It's a stroller that the baby sits on, but they move him around. Okay, maybe that's the chiddush. So Tosfos thinks that it has to be something more than that. Tosfos thinks it has to be that's elementary. They tie it. So they think that it means it's a walker. And then the Mishnah continues. V'nitelas b'shabbos. It's not considered a dovah shel mukta. It's considered a kli. Yeah. And if you want to schlep this walker, if you're going to schlep it on Shabbos on top of soft earth, you're going to make a scratch in the ground. That's going to be Harisha. Harisha is a malocha. If the Gemara says if you make a charitz, if it's in the field, a mokum that's miyuchad fizriya, then it's a malach of chorish. Chorish means hachana lizriya. And if you make a charitz babayis, bayas, the house always has a paved floor, hard floor. We don't have any dirt floors. But until very recently, the houses had dirt floors, like in the days of the Mishnah.
We had floor, but the same house had the ground floor. There were people who had floors.
Dirt floors. So the Gemara says if you make a charitz babayis, then it's a malacha bona. If you make a charitz basada, then it's a malacha of chorish. It's going to be a malacha shein tzvichah gufa anyway, because it's only real charisha is only if he makes a charitz basada and he plans to plant something there. Doesn't plan to plant anything there. Says mamish a malacha shein tzvichah legufa. So we would paskan that the worst is going to be is only be the rabbanan anyway. And if he's moving a heavy stroller, a baby carriage or something, and he's making a charitz, that's not kalachayah. The normal way to make a charitz, you take a shovel and you dig. So if you take a shovel, you dig a hole in the ground, you don't plan to plant anything that's charisha, ain't tzricha legufa. If he takes a baby cat, takes a heavy piece of furniture and he schleps it, and he makes a charitz, not only is it ain't tzricha legufa, it's kalachayat. So it's a double derabbanon. And it's mekalkal, it's a triple derabbanon. It's mekalkal also. It would have been better if he wouldn't have made the charitz. It's a triple derabbanon. It's ain't tzricha legufa, and it's mekalkal, and it's kalachayat. So it's only a derabbanan for sure, but still, if it's a psik reshe, if you move a heavy piece of furniture on the ground, on the soft earth, that bevadai, let's say it just rained and it's very soft and it's a very heavy sofa, you know for sure it's going to make a charitz. Even though it's a triple derabbanan, it's mekalkal and kalachayad, and tzrich legufa, it's still forbidden with derabbanan. But let's say it's not so clear that it's going to make a charitz. It's not a psik reshe, It may or may not, you don't know. It may be that it's so heavy that it is going to make a haritz, and maybe it won't make a haritz. So that's called the Dovah Sheinu Miskaven. Means I'm doing a pu'ula hamuteris, I'm moving furniture. You're permitted to move furniture. You're not allowed to spend the whole day moving all the furniture around. That's
Uvda
Dachol. Yeah, it's Uvda Dachol.
You move around the chair, you move around the chair.
But a little bit. Let's say just wants to move a little bit the furniture. So that's a pu'ula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pu'ula asura. It may or may not cause a charitz. If it will cause a charitz, that'll be charisha derabbanon. So that's a machlegis of Yudah Reb Shimon, where the Dovish and the Miskaven is also a muta. So that's what the Mishnah says. Ein in the Greres, this heavy, apparently this is a heavy walker that may or may not make a charitz. It's not a vados. It may or may not make a charitz, a crack in the ground. So the Mishnah starts off, Ein in the Greres, El al Gabi Kalim. You're not allowed to move it on the dirt ground unless you have shmatis, unless you have clothing on the ground. So you're pulling this walker on top of the clothing, so it's not going to not going to make a charitz. But to move it on the ground itself is not permissible. Rabbi Yudah is the one who holds a davish and miskaven is also. So this obviously is Rabbi Yudah speaking. Then the Mishnah says Rabbi Yudah disagrees with the first Tana. How can Rabbi Yudah disagree? The Gemara says Rabbi Yudah is the first Tana. He's the one who says davish and miskaven is also. So the Gemara says trei tanoi alibet Rabbi Yudah. That's the last line in the text. There are two versions of what Rabbi Yudah said. So the Tanakhama presents obviously Rabbi Yudah Shita, the davish shenim miskaven is aser. So he says you're not allowed to move this carriage or the walker on top of the soft earth because it may or may not make a haritz. So that's a davish shenim miskaven is aser. And Rabbi Yudah, the second version of Rabbi Yudah Oimer, the Mishnah quotes a different version of Rabbi Yudah. Kol akelim, all other furniture you're not allowed to move on the soft ground in the grorim. Because it's a dovish and a miskaven and may or may not cause a haritz, except for this kind of an agola, chutzman or agola. That's not called a haritz. Let's say a person, it just rained and the earth is very soft and the person walks with big shoes, and when he walks with the big shoes, makes an indentation in the ground. So the Mishnah says that's koveshes. You're just causing it to go down over there. That's not called charisha. Charisha, basode. Or bone, babayas, is if you remove.
It may be obvious, it may have drum wheels, it may have a drum rather than wheels, may not have a wheel then on this point. Therefore, what is covetous, when you have like a, what's name, on the street, when you have with a roller, when you put on. And this. That's how it moves. It doesn't have necessarily have to have four wheels or something. When we say agolo, it doesn't have to have wheels.
He we're talking with wheels. We're talking with wheels. But there are different kinds of wheels. Sometimes
the wheels. Drum.
Okay. But here the Mishnah is making the following distinction. Sometimes the wheels are such that they're going to scratch out the earth. Like when you take a shovel, you're pushing out some of the earth. That's called Osa Charit. So that Charit, if it's Basada, is a Reya, and if it's Babayis, is a Bona. Ain't Tzricha Legufa, Mekalkal, the whole works, but it's a Bona or a Chorish Medirabana.
In Kovashet, we talk here that there must be something that is rolling, that is creating
a heavy. So if you have a heavy wheel and it just presses down the earth over there because it's soft, and the mailer is going to be an indentation. So the second version of Yudah says that that's not the malach at all. The only time it's a malach is if you remove. If there's a hole and you flatten it out, right? Mashva gumis, that's bona, yeah. That'll be bona, yeah. But here's an opposite problem. Here's an opposite problem. He's going with a wheel that's going to make an indentation in the ground. It's going to make a haritz. But it's not going to be a haritz by removing off, it's going to be a haritz by being kovished the offer here. So the second version of Yudah says, that's mutter. And the first version of Yudah holds no, that still you're afraid that maybe it'll cause charisha, maybe it'll twist a little bit on the side, and some of the offer will come out. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara just spells out every line in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, It's like a Bar Tanura. The Gemara here is just like a Pirish Rashi, a Bar Tanura. It just takes line by line and explains the Mishnah. Agala shall cut in Tmei a Medris. Why? Why is it Tmei a Medris? The Hasamach Ilavi, because the baby leans on it. Baby leans on it. B'chol Karech is also called the Miyuchad Lishiva. Then he tells us the Shabbos, you're permitted to move it around on Shabbos. Why? It means that it's not Muksum Shindika Taris Keli Allah. It has a Din Kli. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos in the first daf in Kol HaKelim says, called the Tikkun Rabban and Kain, the Raisa Tikkun. So they instituted the dinim of Muktzah on Shabbos parallel to the dinim of Kabbalah Tumah. So just like in Kabbalah, not 100% parallel, but along the lines, Kain, the Raisa. So just like in Kabbalah Tumah, whatever is junk is not Mekabel Tumah. So what are the four things in the whole wide world that are not junk, that are Mekabel Tumah? Are the Mekalim, Ochlam, and Mashkin. So similarly on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry anything outside in the street if there's no Erev. So they really wanted to prohibit handling anything in the house because you may forget and carry it into the street. But then you won't be able to eat. You're going to have to eat like this. You can't hold a fork and a knife. You have to eat with your fingers. So they said they wanted to make life a little difficult, but didn't want to make life impossible. The Chacham didn't want to make it impossible. So they said, all right, a fork and a knife, a chair, all right, whatever you need. But whatever's junk, you don't need. Whatever is not Mekabel Tumah is not junk. So whatever is not Mekabel Tumah, we're going to label as Muktzah, and because you don't really need it. So it's a Gzeirah Shel Rabbi Tzvi B'Chayim Lama, but whatever is Mekabel Tumah is L'shafkes Chai L'chot Beri. Whatever is Mekabel Tumah, Odom Keil Mochum Amash, I'm going to say, we don't allow you to carry a fork and a knife and a table and a chair. So how is he going to enjoy Shabbos? He has to put the chair exactly where he, on Erev Shabbos, has to put the chair where he's going to use it. He can't use a fork and a knife. That's impossible. He make life miserable. So whatever is something that has ishtamshus, means whatever is mekabel tumah, it's not junk, that life would be miserable if they're going to tell you not allowed to handle that exera that you may carry it in the street. Whatever bank color calls not mekabel tumah, why is it not mekabel tumah? Because it's a piece of junk anyway. Yeah. So that's exera. So they made exera, not allowed to handle it at all. You may forget and carry it into the street. So the Gemara says that's how they instituted the exera derabbanan, not 100%, because the ochlam amashkim is only mekabel tumah if it's meichel adam. If it's Michael Behema, it's not Mekabel Tumah. By Muktzah, Michael Behema is not Muktzah either. And there are differences in Kalim also. The Gemara has there in the first daf in Kol HaKelim. But it's Ke'en Der Aisa Tikkun. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan and Ke'en Der Aisa Tikkun. So that's what the Gemara says here. They tell us, B'Shabbos, this walker is not considered Muktzah. I'm Shemdika Teres Kali, although it has the status of a Kli. It has the status of a Kli, so it's not a piece of junk. So by definition, it can't be Muktzah. And then the Mishnah continues, Vein and Igreus Alagabi Kalim. You're only allowed to move this walker, a heavy walker with the baby in it, on top of shmatas, on top of clothing on the ground, so it shouldn't make a charit. So the Gemara explains, Alagabi Kalim, and that's permissible on top of cloth, on top of shmatas. Alagabi Karkaloi, but directly to move the walker on the ground, on the surface, soft earth, you're not allowed to. My time, or what's the reason? Covid charit. Because it may or may not, it does mean that it's mamish of secretion. It may or may not cause a charitza, a charitz, which is either babayis, it's a malacha bonibas, or it's a malacha of choresh. So whose opinion is that it may or may not cause a charitz? Mani Rabbi Yudahi. That's Rabbi Yudahi that the davishenim is kavin is also. That's the definition of davishenim is kavin. I do a pula hamuteris, moving furniture, which may or may not cause malacha to occur. May or may not make a charitz. The Reb Shimon, if you all like Reb Shimon, that's how we pass when Dov Shem's Kaben is Mutter. Even though it's a 50-50 chance that it may or may not cause a malacha, we don't say Safik Deraisa Luchumma. We say it's a Dov Shem's Kaben is Mutter. The Reb Shimon, Homer, his opinion, Dov Shem's Kaben Mutter, the Tanya. It's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, the Tanya. Reb Shimon, I'm exactly, the original memory of Reb Shimon is exactly in this case. Goyra Radam, a person is permitted to schlep on top of the soft earth, Mito, Kisei, the Sapsol, a bed, a chair, a bench, even though he knows that it may or may not cause a haritz, and you don't say Safik deraisa lechumre, you say that it's dov shenim is kaben is mutter. But vachle is kaben lasa lecharitz. If he's interested in making haritz, then it's a dov habas kaben. It means he's not interested. So even though he knows in advance that it may or may not, it's not called Sveika deraisa lechumre, it's mutter. So obviously the Mishnah goes like Reb Yudah, Freg di Gemara, Emer Sefer. So how do you read the next line in the Mishnah? Reb Yudah, Emer. Reb Yudah disagrees with the Tanakama. The Tanakama is the Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah disagrees with the Tanakama. And I'll call Negron Mishabes Chutzman Agola. All other Vegalach, you're not allowed to move on the earth because all other furniture may make a Charit. So you're not allowed to move it on the earth except for this Agola. That's permissible. Neshi Kovesh, it's not Asiyas Charit. So Shrek Dingmar, he just said Reb Yudah holds like care. There are two versions what Rabbi Yehuda said. So this we know. That's how the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon is carbon as well.
Rabbi, when you put a cloth on the ground and you react something on it, you're going to create a crust anyway. You're not going to do it directly, but you're going to make some kind of a...
It's not a
different. Kind of so then you have to have a mat. You have to have a rug. You have to have a couple of layers of shmatim. Yeah, we paskin muta. Yeah, we paskin dav shenim is kavim muta.
But you don't have to have anything.
The way we paskin is no problem. But he says according to Rabbi Yehuda that there is a problem if you put one little shmata, it's not enough. You have to put an inch or two. Okay. Hadron Allah Yontov. Okay, we finished the second parak. We'll start the third parak. Kalachiyad is only the Rabban. Everybody agrees.
Then wouldn't any Malach Shemitzi of the group would be a Kalachiyad in the Rabban?
No. Let's say a person is practicing to become a chef, and he's cooking on Shabbos, and no one's going to eat. He's going to cook all the food and throw it in the garbage. So that's bishul malach hashem tzvicha legufa, but mamish dava hamiskaven. He's cooking all the food. A person wants to go work on a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, so goes to hachshara. And he works on a farm in America, and he's plucking off, and he's planting and plowing, and he's going to throw everything in the garbage. So he's doing malachas deraisa, let's say on Shabbos, doing malachas, coats there and everything. Ain't tzricha legufa. He's not going to use it. No one's going to use it. Just doing it for practice. He can do a mamash and malacha kidarka, 100% kidarka, no kalacha yad, no mekalkal, but it ain't tzricha legufa. He doesn't plan to use the taitzah from the malacha. The beginning of the next perek is Ein Sodim Dogim and Abibrim B'Yontif. Even though on Yontif it says in the Chumash that Oichal Nefesh is permissible, a Perish Apostik, but not everything is permissible. You're not allowed to pluck off fruits from the tree. On Yontif, you're not even allowed to squeeze out oranges. We had on the first daf in the Masechta, you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges on Yontif to make orange juice or to squeeze out lemons to make lemon juice. Or you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif, even though the person has no food to eat. He wants every day, he goes fishing and he eats fresh fish. He likes fresh fish. He wants to go fishing on Yontif, state that you're not permitted to. Mm-hmm. If you have, let's say, a fish is caught in a pond. A fish is caught in a small fish tank. So on Yontif, let's say, kosher fish, and you want to eat it, so when you take the fish out from the water, that'll be an Atilas Neshama. So that's permissible to do on Yontif. You can shecht chickens, you can shecht behemoths on Yontif. But to do tzeidah, that you're not allowed to do. To go fishing, to catch the fish is a double malacha. Tzeidah plus Natilus Neshama. So the Natilus Neshama aspect, that's mutter. But the tzeidah aspect, that's also. That's what the Mishnah says.
After you have it.
If you have a fish tank, it's already nitzod v'yoymed. That's not called tzeidah.
Put it in a bathtub.
Okay. Put it in a bathtub. So if the fish is still alive, when you take it out on Yontif, that's only Natilus Neshama. That's permissible.
If it's narrow, you're allowed to. If it's a wide one, you don't have to go back and forth.
Right. That's what the Mishnah is going to discuss.
Shabbos, you can't do it.
It means on Erev Shabbos they would take it out. They were prepared on Erev Shabbos. So this is the whole discussion that the Rishonim have. If the Chumash says that you're permitted to do malacha l'tzarach ha'echal nefesh, so how did the Mishnah come off to say that you're not allowed to go fishing and you're not allowed to pull off from the tree? So Rashi says because you could have done it before. That's Rashi explains that the only thing you're permitted to do on Yontif on malacha is that if you would have done an Erev Yontif, it
wouldn't have been the same.
It would have been inferior, yeah. So according to Rashi, let's say Bizman Hazeh, which normal person shechts a chicken on Yontif? Who shechts a beim on Yontif? Nobody does that. So according to Rashi, it could be that it'll be forbidden. I'll be pashto. It'll be also to shecht today. Also to shecht today on Yontif, because we will put it in a freezer. Shecht on Erev Yontif, put it in the freezer, it'll taste just as good. It won't be inferior. It doesn't taste better if you shecht the chicken today as opposed to shechting yesterday and putting it in a freezer. If you cooked it yesterday and then you reheat it today, maybe it'll taste better if you would cook it today. But if you shecht it yesterday, put it in a freezer, it'll taste the same. So according to Rashi, Taka would be also to shecht bizman of them. Now that you have refrigeration, in recent years that we have refrigeration, nobody shechts on Yontif. That's what Rashi says. A malacha that you could have done on Ner Yontif, you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Taisus quotes the Rashi, the first Taisus, they say, V'loi Nehira. The first 10 lines they quote, and they say, V'loi Nehira. They don't agree with Rashi, because this Svara, Ef Shalasis M'Bod Yom, as opposed to E'ef Shalas M'Bod Yom, only appears in the Gemara in connection with Machshire Yechal Nefesh. Machshire Yechal Nefesh means a different thing. The person has all the food prepared, but he doesn't want to eat with his fingers, he wants to eat with a fork and a knife. So the Gemara says, he doesn't have any, he has broken forks and knives. Is he allowed to do a malacha of Misak and Mana to fix the knife and the fork is all twisted, all bent? He wants to bang it with a hammer and make it straight. He wants to melt it, whatever. He wants to straighten out the fork and knife. He should be able to function with it. So the Gemara calls that Machshiri Yechal Nefesh. Machshiri Yechal Nefesh. So what's the din? Is it Mutar Rasa or is it Machleikus Satanoi? So the Gemara says, even according to the Tan who thinks that Machshiri Yechal Nefesh, then Tosis discusses on the previous daf, how do we pass an Allah Al Maisa? Where was that? And Chav Beisam et Alef. Tosis says, we pass an Mutar Rasa Psadrei. Unclear in Tosis exactly how we pass them. 2 days in Tosis, how do we pass them? By the Machshire. So the Gemara says on the Machshire Yechal Nefesh, it's only Mutter, according to the Tana, it says Mutter, it's only Mutter if it was E'ef Shalasus Mabod Yom. If he could have done it on Erev Yontif, could have fixed the fork and the knife on Erev Yontif. He's busy, he wants to make money, he goes to the office, and he comes in 20 minutes before Lichtenstein, he takes a shower, he runs to shul, and then he's going to have time on Yontif to fix the fork and the knife, then there's no heter. Well, let's say the fork and the knife broke on Yontif. He had normal forks and knives, and it broke in the middle of Yontif, so what could he do? E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom? Or let's say he wasn't even aware that it was broken. He didn't. He thought that he has normal, then it comes out. It was E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom. He couldn't fix on Erev Yontif, he didn't know that it was broken. So if it's E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom, then we permit you to do the Machshir Eichel Nefesh. So Tosfos, Chepes, Rashi, they say, what did Rashi say in Eichel Nefesh proper? We distinguish between E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom and E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom. Tosfos, Tainas, no, in Lechalik, Eichel Nefesh, but E'ef Shalasus M'Bod Yom, and Ledavka B'Machshir and Yeshchilik. Tosfos says, that's Tosfos' argument against Rashi. Only in the area of Machshir Eichel Nefesh do we distinguish, not in Eichel Nefesh Malchus. So some say that Rashi holds not so, the Ravon. The Ravon is one of... The Rivon was the son-in-law of Rashi. Yes, the Rivon. But the Ravon was a different Rishon. The Ravon used to correspond with the Rabbeinu Tam. I think he lived in Magensa. Whatever. So say for Ravon. Shana quotes about the Kiyah Shefer, the Baal Tekeh made a mistake, and he blew the wrong thing. Maisa Yirav and Magensa, and the Ravon is up, and Rabbeinu Yoel is up, and this one. So the Rosh over there says, and my grandfather, the Ravon. And the historians have a lot of problems with that. The Rosh was the grandson of the Ravon, so not exactly sure. Well, what did he call him his grandfather for? Anyway, so the Ravon claims that that's Rashi Shita, that what the Gemara said, a chilek between Epshalasis and the Epshalasis, doesn't only apply to Machshirin. It applies to Eichel Nefesh also, on the level of Deraisa. Rashi's words is a din Deraisa. Most of the Achrayim say, not so. Most of the Achrayim say, the Megina Shloimeh, the Pnei Shua, was a grandson of the Megina Shloimeh. He always quotes his grandfather. Megina Shloimeh is a sefer to defend Rashi. Megina Shloimeh. Rashi's name was Rabbeinu Shloimeh Yitzchaki. The Megina Shloimeh always defends Rashi from Tosfos Kashya. So sometimes it gives a good teretz and sometimes not. If you're writing a sefer always to defend, half the time you'll be right and half the time you won't be right.
So that's not.
Nobody's infallible.
Well, like you have a yes or a meal about Shabbos. Is there any problem with Yontif as well?
Machshire. Same as Shabbos, it's on Yontif. Yeah. Reb Lezer allows on Shabbos, he allows on Yontif. We pass in it.
We don't pass in like Reb Lezer.
Right. We pass in Yontif also, not like Reb Lezer. Same thing in Adlah. Same Achleikus, yeah. So most of the Achreinim assume like the Megina Shloimeh. The Rashi only meant the Rabbanim. That Svara Lechalek, not a Svara, that Pasuk. Hu Levado, Lachem. That Xeris HaKos of Levado and Lachem, Lachol Tzarchechem, that we distinguish between Machshirin, Epshalas and Bodyom, Epshalas and Bodyom, that's the Din Deraisa and Machshirin. But in Echel Nefesh, Rashi only meant the Chumrim and the Rabbanim. And that's what we had the end of the first parak. We had it last week or 2 weeks ago about grinding up spices. Are you permitted to grind up spices on Erev, on Yontif? On Erev Yontif, you're allowed to grind up spices. What about on Yontif? Are you allowed to? So the Mishnah said at the end of the first parak, if it's spices that everybody knows you're going to need on Yontif, and spices that if you grind it up, it's not going to be, not going to evaporate, the tam is not going to be poigim. So Efshe last mod yom, so you should have done it on Erev Yontif. You're not allowed to do it kedark on Yontif. You have to do, if you want to do it on Yontif, you have to do Aydei Shinoi. But if it's Efshe last is mod yom, because it didn't occur to him, it's a spice that's rarely used, and the Balabosta Faltaina Mishigaz, the middle of Yantam, she's going to use that spice, or it's a spice that she knew she wanted to use it, but it would be Pogim time if she would have ground it up on Erev Yantam. So it's Yev Shalas Mod Yom, then you're permitted to do it on Yantam. So the Mishnah says that at the end of the first parak. So many Achraim say that's where Rashi got it from that Mishnah by the spices, and Rashi means that Din Rabbana. Taisus doesn't like it. Taisus thinks that it must be some other reason. So they say, Lekach Nirulaimar, Kipirish Rach Mikinun, other Rishonim say, on Dav Gimel, that there are other reasons. So what are their reasons? The Domi the Katsir. What Katsir is also Kasha. Why are you not permitted to pluck off apples from the tree on Yontav? Eichon Nefesh is Mutter. So what's wrong? So Taisus quotes Yerushalmi Milisha V'Yelach. You're only, that it says in one Pasuk, Achash Yachol Chol Nefesh Udabat. It says in two Pasuk, next to each other, not the same. One Pasuk says, Shmarta Mes HaMatzah, that you should make Shmur HaMatzah, and Yerushalmi assumes that you only need Shmur HaMishas Katsira.
No, oh,
Shmur Mishas Lisha. Oh, yeah. Shmur Mishas Lisha. Machlekes in the Bavli. Imsochen. So the Yerushalmi holds you only need Shmur Mishas Lisha from the time that you pour in the water. So just like that pasuk, Yishmatem Es Hamatz is only Shmur Mishas Lisha, so too the other pasuk that says right next to it, Achash Yachol L'chol Nefesh, Hu Levado Yos Alachem, Yehetu Lechol Nefesh, is only Melisha V'yelach. What does it mean? Closer to the final product. If it's so far back, that's too far removed from the final product from the Echol Nefesh, that there's no Heter Echol Nefesh. That's what Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi on Dav Gimel. And that's a machlokes Rishonim, whether that din in the Yerushalmi was a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. The half of the Rishonim say it's only a din derabbanan on the level of the deraisa, it doesn't really make a difference. And the Ramban insists, no, the Ramban is over here, on Perikain Sodom, Mohammed, along Mohammed. He insists now that it's a real din deraisa.
If you look from the to be, I'm not allowed to mitlosh perot mi ha'etz. Why am I not allowed to do it on Yontif? Shelo yeh b'roshutcha, v'de nolat, v'de nolat. And the same thing is with Ein Tzadim. If it's in your bathtub, it was yours. If it's that way, it was not yours. So pick on something you change, you're creating a new property on Yontif. This you have to do.
That's how the Ramban says.
I don't think it has anything to do with Hachonov.
That's how the Ramban interprets that. The Ramban says like that. If it's food, and I'm doing tikkun ha-food, I have raw food in the freezer. So I take the food and I cook it on Yontif. Does say Eichel Nefesh. It's food, but I'm plucking it off from the tree. I'm going to catch the animal. It's not even food. The animal's in the jungle.
Today I became rich. Yesterday I didn't have a fish. Yeah. Today I have a fish.
Or let's say I have a tree in the backyard and the fruits are growing on the tree. It's my backyard. It's my fruits. Everything is mine. But it's not called a Michael. It's growing on the tree.
If you could have blown it up the day before, then you wouldn't have it.
Why
you don't control it.
Okay.
Why is Shkikis Tachem is different? In other words, it's Omid Rachila, right?
Yeah.
It's saying a fruit hanging on a tree is Omid Rachila.
Yeah, because man, it's on the tree, it's not considered in my, like that lotion, it's not considered in my rishus. That's how some rishonim explained the chilek. Yeah. And then the Taisus before gave another suggestion on the Gimel HaMenal. Another Bala Taisus gave a suggestion that they didn't like. You're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif because you may catch a trefa fish. So Heter Echol Nefesh only if you catch a kosher fish. So you may by mistake catch a trefa fish. The Taisus didn't like that. The worst thing that'll happen, you catch a trefa fish, so what good is it? It's a malach hashem tzvicha l'gufa. You're going to throw it back into the river anyway. A trefa fish. You can't eat it. The a malach hashem tzvicha l'gufa is not deraisa. So what are you making a gzera l'gzera? You don't permit people to go fishing on Yontif. Kamer, it may lead to a malach derabon. So the worst thing that'll happen, the world won't come to an end. So he'll violate a malach derabon. He's not interested in malach. He's interested in catching kosher fish. He's not interested in catching trefa fish. Whatever it is, that's not locha, that you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif. Some hold it's an Issa deraisa, some hold it's an Issa derabbanan. But not all malachas are permitted on yontif. And the Gemara in the first daf said you're not allowed to squeeze out oranges in order to get. And even mashkin shezova mealeyem, even if it oozed out by itself, is the gzeira derabban, gzeira shem yischot. Just like on Shabbos, on yontif also, that's the first daf in the Mesichta. So the Mishnah says, okay, you're not allowed to go hunting on yontif. They know some lifnei mezonis, and you're not allowed to feed. Let's say you're not allowed to go feed the fish in the river. If I have fish in my tank, I'm permitted to give them fish food that they shouldn't die. But if the fish in the river, that you're not allowed to feed. You have to. Yeah, you have to take care of your animals. Yeah. Aval, that's what you're not allowed to hunt those fish in the river, and you're not allowed to give them food. It's same as any.
Huh? What's wrong with giving food?
That's what we didn't discuss yet. That's a major question. What's wrong with giving food? What's it a malacha? Many people had to practice on Rosh Hashanah when they went for Tashlich, they would throw food to the fish. So the Maharil says it's against halacha. He says the fish is not mezaneh same alecha, and it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to throw food. He says you throw out the dirt from your pocket, but you don't throw food. You're not allowed to carry if it's chutz la'erev. Then you're not allowed to carry lechem. Achashiach lechem. Never should about yosel lechem. Lechem. Lo laakum lechem. Lo lebehema lechem. Lo lagavosi. You're not allowed to do a malacha for a behema. Machlekes hatanoim. We pask and you're not allowed to. And even according to the Tana who holds that you are allowed to, machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who holds it, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, even according to the Tana says that you are permitted to. It's only if it's mezaneh same malacha. Let's say I'm going to carry food to the zoo on yontif, not on chalamayit. On yontif, I'm going to carry food to the zoo in order to feed the animals. That's not my responsibility to feed the animals. One Tana holds, I'm permitted to carry, if I have a farm, and I have a responsibility to feed my animals, they shouldn't die, or they shouldn't suffer from hunger. So one Tana holds, you're permitted to carry on yontif to feed people, and to feed behemoth, that is mezaneh same halacha. But if it's the fish that is living in the rivers, it's not my responsibility, or it's the animals in the zoo.
Oh, for non-Jew.
For non-Jew is also machlekes satanayim, whether you permit it. We pass in your amlata. Lachem v'lo lakum, and lachem v'lo leklovim. He may feed his animals. If it's mezaneh same halacha, he may feed the animals.
No,
lachem v'lo lebehema means to carry a chutz la'erev. Is he carrying chutz la'erev, or is he just feeding the animals? On yontif, you're not allowed to carry either. You're not allowed to carry on yontif. Oh, tzorach al nefesh, there's a hefter, but to carry for behema, that you're not allowed to. That reverts back to be the yisur of carrying.
And yours,
make an erev. You make an erev. So you make an erev, so you're allowed to feed the animals. And this did in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to feed animals. If it's mezaneh same halacha, then you're allowed to. We have to learn the Rashi and the Tosis. So the Mishnah says some.
You can prepare for the whole Shabbat.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Some of the farmers know how to solve the problem. Yeah. So the Mishnah makes a contrast. Those animals that you're not allowed to hunt on yontif ain't sodim. You're not allowed to feed them. Those animals that are nitzad v'yomed, there's no isur of hunting. Aval tzadim chaya v'yof min abibrim. If it's already nitzad v'yomed, the animal is caught already. It's in a fish tank. So there's no isur tzedah. If I'll take it out and I'll kill it, it'll be an isur netilas neshama. But if it won't be an isur tzedah, it's in a tiny fish tank. It's not considered.
It's no tzedah.
It's no tzedah if it's already caught. I have my fish in the bathtub. So there's no tzedah.
Yeah.
I just can't go in and I take it out. It's under the water, so it's still alive. So if you take it out on yontif, it'll be in a tilus nishim.
Huh? They didn't have refrigerators then.
Yeah, they had to keep it alive. They had no brain. So the mission. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Avotzadim, this is permissible to take such animals because it's nitzad v'yoymeit. And those animals, is nice enough name is zaynis. Then you're permitted to feed those animals. So what's the vort over here? When are you permitted to feed animals and when are you forbidden to feed animals? When does the first half of the Mishnah apply? When does the second half of the Mishnah apply? So Rashi has a very difficult pshat in a few places in Shas. Rashi has this and the Tosis appears in a few places. Here the Tosis is on Ardaf and in other places Shabbos, Kufn and Hamad Beis with Sham. The Sham means that on Ardaf there's another Tosis that talks about the same topic. Whenever it says Visham, it means that on that daf there's a Tosis that talks about the same topic. So the Rashi learns Just like there's a prohibition of tiltal muktzah, live animals are muktzah on Shabbos and Yontif, so too there's a prohibition to be matriach yourself on behalf of muktzah. So you're not allowed to feed an animal which is muktzah. It's like gzeir Hashem, you talk to the animal.
Yeah.
In your interest to feed the animal,
you're creating the yachas between the food and the animal.
Yes, and then it's like considered as if it's included in the violation of tiltul muktzah. Even though you're handling food, you're not handling the animal, but since you're feeding the animal, it's considered as if it's a tiltul muktzah. So how come it says sometimes mutter? The first line in the Mishnah says you're not allowed to feed the fish in the river. How come the second line says that it is mutas? Rashi says, what are they going to make? Exer the rabbanus and the same alecha. It's your responsibility. You have to feed the animal. Since it's your responsibility, so they didn't make exer over there. That's what Rashi learns. So Taisus chepes Rashi. Taisus here, Taisus and Shabbat chepe. It doesn't seem so from the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to continue with stiris. How come in one price it says you are allowed to feed, one price it says you're not allowed to feed? And it doesn't seem like Rashi that it depends. No, basically, it's an issa because you're handling food on behalf of the muktzadika animal, and it's a special heter if it's mezenaseim alecha because it's a rachmanas on the animal. Wouldn't appear so from the Gemara. So Taisus says the whole pshat is all wrong. The whole prohibition of feeding the animal is gzeir Hashem or yotzud. Everything has to do with ein sodim. Whenever there's an issa of tzeda, because the animal does not need so to be yoimed, then they made exer the rabbanim. You're not allowed to feed the animal exer shema yotzu. Shema yovali they say. But if it's an animal that needs so to be yoimed, so then there's no chashash shema yovali they say. So then you're permitted to feed the animal.
Even those animals that you call standing in a stalker around, it's not that easy to happen.
But for pay it.
The Gemara talks if they're domesticated animals that they come back every night to their. Okay. So the Gemara is going to talk about how wild. Okay. So the Gemara is going to give shiurim. When is it called nitzad v'yayim and when not? Okay. So Taisa says when you learn the Gemara, we'll soon see in a few minutes. When you learn the Gemara, it seems pretty obvious, like Taisa, that hobaha talya. That first you have to be done, is there an issue of tzeda or not? Once you've decided whether there is or there is not an issue of tzeda, memela, the issue of feeding it follows. Whenever it's nitzad v'yayimei, then you're allowed to feed it. Whenever there's an issa tzeda, then you're not allowed to feed it. Not like Rashi, that it's out an independent issa because of muktze, and zanisam alech is a special heta. You see, feeding gemara is not so. That's what Taisus, that's what it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, like Taisus.
When you talk about sudden and ein sudden, you're talking about edible animals.
Yeah,
if
right,
it's a squirrel. So what are you afraid that you're going to catch it? Is it squirrel?
No, but
yeah. Why not allowed to? He may want to catch a squirrel to have in the house.
Not as much.
I mean, it's an animal head that's normally not caught.
Exactly.
Or
wild birds.
Uh-huh.
But time is going to say Cholech.
According to the text, it's all Gzeir Hashem Yotzi. So, Fekta Kasha, why should you make a Gzeir if it's an animal that normal people never catch?
It's normal what?
People don't catch. No normal person is interested in catching a squirrel. So, yes, Takasha, why do they make a Gzeir? I don't know. But I think that's assumed to be the din, that you're not allowed to feed. That's the minig on Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach, that they used to feed
birds.
They used to feed the birds. Yes, so the Magen Avraham quotes from the Paskim that it's, he says, in order, when the Chever said, Moshe Rabbeinu said that you shouldn't go look for any man, because Shabbos the man is not going to come down. So a couple of Chever wanted to show
that
Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what he's talking about, so they carried out man and they put it there. So the birds came and they ate it up in order to defend Moshe Rabbeinu, that it shouldn't look like he didn't know what he was talking about. So we want to reward the birds, the Enochlach of those birds who weighed up the mon in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we want to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira, on Shabbos B'Shalach, when we read in the Chumash that some of the people went out, v'lo matzo, and they didn't find. What do you mean v'lo matzo? Means that they had planted the mon, and they didn't find the mon that they had planted, because it was eaten up by the birds. That's what the Medrash said. So the Magen Avraham quotes such a meaning. And then the Magen Avraham, I think, says that it's not proper to put the food out on Shabbos, because the birds are aiming the same alecha. And there's an Isid Seda, however, what do you say like Rashi, you say like Taisus. There's an Isid Seda on the bird, so it's a Gzeir Hashem HaYotzit, so you're not allowed to feed the bird. So they said, Magen Avraham says, the minig is you put the food on Erev Shabbos, you don't put the food on Shabbos to feed the bird.
But then they'll eat it up Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos.
Okay, so we'll cover Shabbos here again. And some Hasidic Achrayim want to defend the minig that they used to give Dafka on Shabbos, so they say, those Hasidim are in the same halacha.
That Shabbos is designed.
This Shabbos, it's my responsibility in order to observe
our
this meaning. Yeah, because we want to demonstrate Hakaras HaTayif to the birds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kapeas Char Kalberia. So today, this Shabbos, it is Mesayin Hashem Alaha on these birds. Yeah, what do you mean Mesayin Hashem Alaha? If you say like Rashi, whenever it's Mesayin Hashem Alaha, then you're allowed to feed the birds. But Taisus denies that. Taisus says it has to do with Seder. Whenever there's an Isid Seder, then you're not allowed to. So this, for sure there's an Isid Seder. The birds are coming in from Hefka. The birds are flying in from Hefka. For sure there's an Isid Seder. So according to Taisus, that Teres is Nishkin Teres. And we in Shulchan Aruch assume like Taisus. We don't assume like Rashi. So the Teres that they gave...
Is it because of Seder? That's the Teres?
No, according to Taisus, the prohibition of the permissibility of feeding the bird, or feeding animals, is a function of whether there's Nitzad V'yaymei, or it's not Nisa the Yonah. So these birds that come in from the Hefker, these for sure there's an Nisa Tzeda.
This Shabbos, I'm not going to do.
Who says we're not going to do
Tzeda?
This Shabbos, we're not going to do Tzeda out of Hakaras HaTayv. Okay. Could be. Could also be. That could be. The way the Achrayim worded, they worded differently. You're rewording the Teretz. They word the Teretz. Today it's Mizayin Hashem Alecha, it's our responsibility to be Makkah Tayyib. So that wording only fits in with Rashi. Rashi says, whenever it's Mizayin Hashem Alecha, special hetter. It's not Mizayin Hashem Alecha, Leib Taniser of, it's considered like a Chelik of Tilton Muktzah.
So according to Rashi,
where do you find in Rashi about this Chelik of Tilton Muktzah?
Wait, one minute. What do you say? Rashi doesn't have it?
I never saw it. I mean, I. Rashi says because.
Oh, you're right. Rashi over here does not have. Must be the Rashi there in Shabbos. Must be the Rashi in Shabbos. No, but Rashi. Taisus points out the Rashi. Taisus there, Shabbos points out that's where Rashi says because of. It's an extension of the prohibition of Tilton Muktzah. Because the behemoth is Muktzah. Yeah, what did you say? I didn't hear that. What?
According to Rashi.
No, he doesn't say. By us, he doesn't say that Tilton Muktzah.
According to Rashi, the barometer is that you have to feed them, notwithstanding the fact that you might trap them accidentally. You know, if you have to feed them, even if they're in the wild, you have to. That's what Rashi says?
Yeah. Rashi says that it's my responsibility to feed these animals, even if there's an Isad Seda on it. My responsibility, said, then I'm permitted, then there's no Gzeira Derabbanon. Whenever it's not my responsibility, then there's a Gzeira Derabbanon that is considered the Hashash of Shema Yital Tal Mukta. Shema Yital Tal Mukta. And Taisa says, no, it's a function of Seda. Whenever there's an Isad Seda, whenever there's an issue of Seda possible, then you're not allowed to feed Gzeira Shema Yotzu. Machlekes Rashi and Taisus, what's the prohibition? The Gemara never spells out the Beferish. What's wrong with Ein Leistam and Ein Zayim? Okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel we'll get to. You have to know more Gemara before you get to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So here the Gemara has a problem. The Gemara has a stira. In the Mishnah it says, you're not permitted to be tzad dogim min abibrim biyontiv. However, you are permitted to be tzad chai v'yof min abibrim. A bibber is an area, a large area that's mukaf mechitzis, enclosed area. Yeah. So the Mishnah says that you are permitted to be tzad chayv yaf min abibber. Why? Because it's nitzad v'yaymid. So there's no isad seder. The thing is nitzad v'yaymid. Begmar kasha uriminu. We have a tosefta that says not so. Bibber shal chayv shaloyfes ein tzad mehem biyontiv. You're not allowed to. And memele einosim lefneim ezeinis. That's what Tosis points out. The Gemara is only going to answer the stira of Seder, whether Mutar or Rasa. The Gemara never works on the stira of Naisim with name is Anus, and Naisim with name is Anus. How come they don't work on that? So Tosis says, one is a function of the other. Once you hold that there's a problem of Seder, then immediately you're not allowed to feed it. Once there's no problem of Seder, then you are allowed to feed it. But according to Rashi, right, that's the Kasha against Rashi. But according to Rashi, the two unrelated issues. The issue of Nesim Lesnei Mezainis is an Anisa, a branch of Tilton Muktzah, And a special heter, yes. So even after you're going to answer the whole teretz on the tzedek issue, you still have to deal with the other half of the of giving them a zayin. So that's Taisa's proof. And Taisa and Shabbos has more proofs to their position. So the Gemara says it's a double steer, kasha chayacha, kasha oifes oifes. It's a double steer between the Tesefta, Perigimel and Beitza, and the Mishnah Perigimel and Beitza. Mishnah says the bibrim of chay v'yoif anitzed v'yoimet, there is no prohibition of tzeda, and the Tesefta says even in the bibra there is a prohibition of tzeda. So the Gemara says chay chay lo kasha. There's a machlekes satanoim. There's a famous machlekes satanoim. What is the shear of tzeda? So maybe the Mishnah goes like one tana, and the Tesefta goes like the other tana. What's the machlekes satanoim? So the Gemara quotes from Shabbos. A Mishnah and Shabbos. All the Tanoim agree, Hatzot Sipur. The Yisur of Tzeda applies to birds, to wild animals, to behemoths, to chayas. Let's say, Shaila, does the Yisur Tzeda apply? Let's say you have, what are these big animals with the shell on top? What do you call them? They walk turtle. Very, very
turtle. Turtle.
Let's say there's a turtle. And it goes so slowly.
So
is that an Yisur of Tzeda?
But you're taking it away from where it can go by itself. You are directing them on your own rishus. I mean, to yourself.
See, that's the shaila. What's the definition? The Mishnah Brewer talks about this. You have a turtle.
Yeah.
It's interesting. No one ever worked on definitions of malachas till the last century.
Turtle's not kosher. Why would you try to?
Well, to play with.
Wants to make a zoo. His child wants a turtle.
Yeah.
He goes to the Sahara Desert and he sees a turtle wherever, and he wants to grab the turtle to take it. So is that an Issa Tzedo? So it's interesting.
How fast does it have to run in order to be Tzedo? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Yeah. That's the shayla. How do you define? So I think the Mishnah Brewer and the Bir Alocha Dachsa
Tov. Control. You have to be in control.
These are two definitions of it. Does the shayla machlekes satanoy? So Avnei says that's the machlekes satanoy. You're saying my control. Do I have control or not? And he's saying, does it have freedom? Does it have freedom or not?
Yeah.
The turtle has freedom, all the freedom in the world. If I'm going to grab him and put him in a container, he's not going to have freedom. But control I have all along. I can just walk over and pick up the turtle. Right? I have control whenever I want. So when I do the tzeda, I'm not gaining control. I have shine control. There's no issue of getting control. So the Avnei Nezer with the Mishnah Brewer 100 years ago were the first ones who were working on definitions of the Malachas. So now in the recent years, more and more, Shabbos Kolchasa has a lot of definitions of malachas, but it's all from the last 100 years. No one ever gave definitions. What exactly is included in the definition of the malacha? So here, all the Tanaim agree that the
problems.
The world wasn't changing so much. In the last century, everything changed so much that they had to give definitions in order to know how to make a tzushtel. What's included and what's not included? For hundreds of years, nothing changed. Everything stayed approximately the same. So to be in violation of tzedo on a bird that can fly away, you have to be tzad sipol amigdol. Amigdol means like a cage, or what do you call it, where you put silverware on display. That's amigdol. Yeah, credenza, whatever you call it, like that. Like an Aron Kodesh, that would be called amigdol. Such a big box, that would be called amigdol. So if you're going to catch a bird in a room, that's not called tzeda. Catch a bird in a migdol, such a like in a closet, such a small closet, that's called tzeda. All the time I'm agreeing. Tzad sipo le migdol is tzeda. What about if you tzad tzvi lagina ve lachotzer ve la bibrim? So that's a machloekes satanoim. So the first Tana Rabbi Yehuda Eimer from Shabbos Daf Kuvok, Yehuda says tzvi la bayis chayim. Only if you catch a tzvi in a house. The Mishnah Shabbos talks.
Yeah.
The person is going and he closes the door. So that's an issue of tzeda. A tzvi and a bayis is tzeda. So Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama, says in this Mishnah, only tzvi la bayis udim mechayv abul bibrim lo. If you catch a deer in a very big room, much a bayis means one room. Not a house with 100 rooms. Not our houses. That's a bibber. A house bismanagma means one room. That's the whole house is one room. So if you catch a tzvi in one room, say Rabbi Yehuda holds chayiv, v'chachamim amrim, no, tzvi lagino v'lachotze v'labibrim. Not only if it's labayis, even if it's in a larger area, it's also called tzedim.
So like the limit of freedom.
So what's the machlokes satanaim? So the Avnei Nezer thinks that that's the machlokes. that the Chachamim say the definition of tzeda is you limit again.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter whether it's a gino or a bias, as long as
I think in both cases you're limiting the freedom,
yeah,
of the animal.
Right.
So if you hold the definition as limiting the freedom, so you even chayiv tzeda if it's gino, chatzir, and biber. But if you say the definition of tzeda is not limiting the freedom, I have control, so on the gino, chatzir, and biber you don't yet have control.
Right.
But by bias, then you're going to have control. So he says, this machlekes that you just had, this the Avnei Nezer thinks that this is the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Nachachamim. What's the definition of tzeda? And the Mishneh Berurah raises it a little bit in the opposite case. When you have this turtle walking down the block, I'm doing a big deal, getting control. Whatever I want,
yeah.
I have control. I take the turtle, I put it in my pocket. I didn't have to work so hard to get. But I do limit the freedom of the turtle. If the definition of tzeda is gaining control, so there shouldn't be tzeda at all on a turtle. But if the definition of tzeda means limiting the freedom of the animal, then there will be an isa tzeda on the turtle as well. Anyway, so the Gemara suggests that maybe the stira between the Mishnah and the Tosefta, where the chaya v'yof and a biber is nitzad v'yomer or not, that's a machlokes satanaim. Oif, not chaya. The machlek is Rabbi Nachachamim is by a chay. By off, they all agree has to be tzipa lamigno. But the steer between the Mishnah, the Gemara said there's a double steer between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. By chaya, chaya, and oif, oif. So the Gemara says maybe the issue of chaya, there's a machlek is satanoim. So the Mishnah is one tana, and the Brice is the other tana. But what's going to be the steer on oif? So you don't have any machlek to satanayim on oif. So you have to give on oif, you're going to have to give a different answer. There is a different kind of biber. This is one kind of biber, there's a different kind of biber. So once the Gemara says, once you're going to give that answer, the different kind of biber, so you may as well say chaya chaya is also like kasha, there's a different kind of biber. What do you a different circumstance, what do you have to say to machlek to satanayim? Oif is kasha, v'chitema, the what? Anami lo kasha, b'bibi mekura, b'bibi shena mekura. It depends whether there's a roof or there's not a roof. So the Gemara says that by oaf, even if it's a biber, that's mekura, it has walls around it, and it has a roof, but still, it's not a migdol. All the Tanaim agree, atzot tzipa la migdol. That they all agree. It's only called seido if you catch it tzipa la migdol. That's what the Gemara says. Bein l'Rav Yehuda, bein l'Rabban, a tzipa l'amigdol le'en l'abayis loy. If you catch a tzipa and a bayis, it's not called seidol. L'chol ha'des, you have to have tzipa l'amigdol into such a small thing, the size of the Aron Kodesh, into a small size closet,
everything
not to a big room.
The biggest of the animal.
Right, right. Yeah.
You can recall something about the steed that is very nimble. So as long as there is a little room for the steed to run around, you can catch it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. The Gemara here talks about different kinds of birds. He says it makes a difference. If it's a
bird that doesn't like,
if it's a
fine. Here we talk about control. We talk maros. It's a definition of control.
Okay, okay. So what does the Gemara say? What's the chilek? The different kinds of birds. There's some birds are just always out to
run away.
Run away. Such a bird is always out to run away. Then the Mishnah says in Shabbos you got to have tzipa l'amigdol. But a normal bird, not such a tzipa drawer, it's not so crazy, meshugah v'davarecha, for its independence. The normal bird, once you catch it in a biba mekura, so then it will be tzeda. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe that's the teretz between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. We're talking about different kinds of birds. Once the Gemara gives that answer, the Gemara says three lines later, Hashta dosis lahachi. Now that you came to that realization that the different kinds of hechitimtzes, you don't have to say it's a machlekes satanoim, different kinds of cases. So chay chay nami lo kashi. You don't have to say that the Mishnah and the Tosefta represent two different shittas in tanoim. Maybe habi bibikot and habi bibigot. It depends how big the animal is, how big the biber is. So that's the shaila. Once, and then the Gemara discusses what's the definition of a bibagot. Bibagot. So you have to be a farmer to know what this is. Taisa says the top taisa. We're not sure what it means over here. So now, once you get to that maskana, that it all depends how big the biber is and how big the animal is. said, isn't this what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said? Rav Shimon in the Mishnah. We didn't do the last Mishnah. This line of Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel lo imer. Sounds like he disagrees with the Tanakhama. Look, al abibim shavim. It all depends on the size of the bib. It all depends on the size of the animal. Zaklal kolam chusit say to us. Shem chusit say to muta. Isn't that what the Tanakhama said? So what is Rav Shimon Gamliel disagreeing? Rav Shimon Gamliel lo imer. Sounds like he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama. So Rashi has two pshatim over here. So one pshat in Rashi is Rav Shimon Gamliel is not disagreeing with the Tanakhama. He's just spelling out the same thing Rashi on the Gemara has. He's not disagreeing with the Tanakhama. He's saying the same thing as Tanakhama. Inami, here's the Rashi on Chob Dal and Amin Aleph. Hashtadosis Lahachi is a Rashi 10 lines long. So the last two lines in Rashi he says Inami, another taich. He doesn't disagree with the Tanakhama. He's explaining what the Tanakhama says. That's the second pshat in Rashi. And the first pshat Rashi catches a slight difference between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakhama, but it's along the same lines. Whether it's nitzad v'yayman or not depends on all the circumstances. Okay. Whenever Rav Shimon Gamliel appears in the Mishnah, we pass him like Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. In the beginning, the Medrash has in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, and when Yaakov Avinu is about to meet the Esav, when the Jewish people have to deal with the Umas Olam, so the Tanoim very often had to go to Rome in order to negotiate political issues. So the Ramban quotes a Medrash Rabbah that they used to study Parshas Vayishlach, and they used to figure out how they're supposed to negotiate. How could they figure this out from the Chumash? So it's like the Gemara says in the first Perek in Chayres that the Sovid de Beatuna, the scientists from Athens, were trying to make a scientific experiment to determine how long is the pregnancy of a snake. And all kinds of scientific things, medical issues, and the Tanoim looked in Bereshis when it talks about the creation of the snakes, and they used Klal HaPrat and all the Midrash HaTanoim, and they figured it out. And then they told the Sofer the Be'er Tuna, and their conclusion didn't conform with what the Tanoim said. The Tanoim said that you're wrong, your experiment wasn't controlled, your snake was already pregnant 5 years before, whatever, and they did over the experiment, and they found out the Tanoim were right. So obviously the Tanoim knew the Midrash HaTanoim Drash Hashem. If you know, in the days of the later Tanoim, the Medrash says the Ramchal has an essay about this. There's a Medrash Rabbah on Shir HaShirim. And in the days of the later Tanoim, one Tana says to the other, didn't you know whenever it says Azal Loshen and Shir HaShirim, you darshan it like this? He said he never heard of that. So he points out that in the days of the later Tanoim, many of the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem in Agoda had already been lost. Today, we have all the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem in Halacha, but we don't know the Mestis. We don't know how to use the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem in Halacha. Klal HaPrat, we know how to darshan the Klal HaPrat. We barely know how to make a Kal V'chaim and a Mamat Zinu. That's all we use B'zman Hazeh. All the Chuvis, all the Pasim, they write Chuvis. They just use a Kal V'chaim and a Mamat Zinu, Binyan Av. That's all. All the other Midrash, we don't know how to use. Everything, we don't know how to use them. So already in the days of the later Tanaim, they had already lost all the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem in Agoda. But there was such a thing, there was such an institution. So they were able, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so it has things about the Bria Soil and Bereishis. And if you know the Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem, you can figure out things about Teva Ha'olam. And about politics also, that's part of the Bria Soil. If you know history well, so you can. History was also part of Teva, so you can also figure out the rise and fall of any given country. So the Tanoim, who knew how to darshan Midrash HaTorah Drash Hashem, they knew how to read in between the lines and how to figure out how to negotiate with the Umas Olam. That's why the correct. 2 weeks ago, I didn't give a shiur on Monday night. I was here on Tuesday night because I was in Eretz Yisrael just over the weekend, on Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. So I was in Eretz Yisrael for a conference of Rabbonim, which took place in the same hotel as the OGA, as the Orthodox General Assembly. So once I was there already, they didn't have to pay for the ticket. So they asked me to speak at their conference also. So it didn't cost them any money. So why not? So they asked me to speak. So I mentioned that I think that they should try to get Talmidei Chachamim to do a little leadership. Because how does a person have Ruach HaKodesh? How does he know what's the right derech to go? You have to be able to look into the future in order to know where are we leading to, and then to figure out how you get to that location. To lead, how can you look into the future? Nobody has any Ruach HaKodesh. You have to have Talmid HaChamim, who have the ability, to have a bigger perspective to see what's going to be in the future. The Chazal and Baba Basra, and the first parak in Baba Basra, comment on the Pasuk in Shir Hashem, Ani Chomo, Yishodai Kamigdolos, that part of Klal Yisrael is like a migdol, like a tall tower, that you can look to distant locations. So the Gemara says, Ani Chomo Zutorah, that the Torah gives protection to the Klal Yisrael, like a choma, like a wall, gives protection to all the people who live in the city. Just like a migdol is for protection, that someone, a guard, sits on top of the tower and he sees lemachakim. So the Talmid HaChachamim, if they look, if they have their eyes closed, they're just looking in the Gemara at the Mashur, they're not looking in politics, so they won't see anything. But just like a Talmid HaChachim can't paskin on a chicken, if he's not looking at the chicken, he call him up a Shiloh long distance, he can't paskin on a chicken. He can't paskin on a Mare, on a Kesem, if he doesn't see what color it is. He can't paskin on the telephone, so he can't paskin on politics either, unless you live in the Inyanim. But if a person is a Talmid HaChachim, he stands a better chance of sizing up the situation. He'll look with a bigger perspective. That's how Rav Velva Soloveitchik said that his father, Rav Chaim, had such penetrative analysis that he would be able to size up a situation. He'd be able to tell you, if you go in this direction, what will be in another 50 years. You go in that, he said 60 years. And if you go in that direction, what will be in another 60 years? Now, Velvula said, I don't have that ability to look. But he said, at least I think I have 1 mile over the other Rabbanim of my generation. At least I see what's under my nose. Other people don't even see what's under their nose. So that's what I encourage them. I don't think anybody was listening there. I encourage them that they should try to train Talmid HaChachamim to go into the field of Manhigus, into politics. A person is a Talmid HaChachamim will be able to read in between the lines Chacha a little bit. We can't darshan like the Tanoim. The later Tanoim already lost the knack to darshan. But we can study Gemara. The Gemara does talk about different cases.
The question is,
you have to. Yeah, it'll be better for the Klal Yisrael. You have to have Talmid HaChachamim.
Yeah, sure. I always say that. If you will be a general, we will have this problem now.
You're better than politics too.
Okay, that's what the Chazal did. They darshan the psukim to figure out how.